And so today, we're going to talk about that and talk about the challenges we have facing us next year. Many of them are similar to what we've already faced because there's an ongoing aspect of our mission work, but we'll be talking specifically about that. But before coming to that, I want to remind you of something as you think about your giving next week. I want you to remind you of something that happened in the life of David. David had all kinds of money. David was wealthy. He was the king of Israel. And he was prosperous in many ways. And there was this sacrifice specified by God that he needed to give. And so in 2 Samuel chapter 24, he arrives at the very place God had said, you go to that place, and there you offer a sacrifice at that place. The king arrives. And so there is the man who owns that property that's there. And he says to David, look, I've got the oxen here. You can use my oxen. And here's the wood, and you can use my wood to make the sacrifice to God. And David said, no. Then it would not be, the implies, it would not be my sacrifice. And then he makes an amazing statement. 2 Samuel chapter 24, verse 24, I will not give to the Lord that which cost me nothing. I want you to hear that. If that's not a spirit of sacrifice manifested by a man after God's own heart, I cannot imagine what it is. Whatever I'm going to give the Lord is going to have to cost me something. And brethren, that's why our giving is called a sacrifice. And as you think about how much you're going to give next Sunday, just keep that in mind. You spend more on your on a vacation and on recreation and on eating out and on whatever. And then look at how a paltry amount sometimes individuals give on a Sunday. I say that not by matter of rebuke, but by way of causing every one of us, let's look inward. How much of the blessings of God that's been poured down upon me, how much of them am I squandering on myself for things that really, really don't matter at all? But the cross is reality. And that's what matters. And that's what we need to keep in mind. Christ came and Christ died. And the only avenue that God has for evangelism is the church. He could have, had he wanted to, gone back to heaven and said, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to cause all the stars to come together, you know, about once a year, and I'm going to send a message down to earth that Jesus came, Jesus died, and you'd be saved through Jesus. He could have done it that way. Or he could have said, how many angels are there? 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. And he could have said, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to come into every home, you know, at least once in everybody's lifetime. And I'm going to stand at the foot of the bed. I'm going to shake the bed. And then one of my angels is going to stand there and say, Christ died for you. That's not what he decided. You and I need to understand that the church, that Palm Beach Lakes Church of Christ, is a part of God's eternal purpose. And so whenever the Lord says, you carry this Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the most remote place on earth, and then as you go and you teach other people, you teach them to do the same sort of thing. That's what the church looks like. It's the only avenue that God has to tell people about the cross of Jesus. As Gary and I were sitting over here this morning, he leaned over me and he gave me a thought, something that he'd stolen from somebody else, I guess, and I'm stealing it from Gary. At least, Gary, I'm giving you credit. And you gave me credit as to where you got it also. He said, you never run out of blood. Cleansing power. Run out of soap to wash the dishes with. Run out of soap to wash your clothes with. The cleansing power of the blood of Jesus, you never run out of it. But if the world doesn't know about it, listen, That's what Mission Sunday is all about. If the world does not know about the blood of Jesus, then the storehouse of blood is there, but nobody knows about it. And that's why what we do in January of every year is of such great importance. I wish we had time to look at Ephesians 3, 14 through 21. I'm telling you, there's some powerful things that are there. Paul talks about, you know, the height and the width and the length and the depth of the love of God, and the fact that God is going to bless you and the grace of God has been bestowed upon you. And when you get to the last part of Ephesians chapter 3, verse 21 says, to Him be glory in the church throughout all ages. Did you hear that? To God be glory in the church. To God be glory in Palm Beach Lakes. To God be glory in every one of our teens who are members of the church throughout all ages. And our young adults and middle age, and if we had the older members here that would admit it, to the older members of this church, to God be glory in you throughout all ages. And that's His plan. And you and I need to understand how we do this kind of thing. And those who have been members of the church, somebody says, oh, we're headed for the pyramid, aren't we? Well, sort of. But I want you not to just think about a pyramid. I want you to think about what we can do for God this next year. If we'll sacrifice, if we'll make sure that whatever we put in that tray next Sunday represents, this is going to cost me something. That's David's principle. To Him be glory in the church in Palm Beach Lakes. And the commission to carry the gospel to the most remote place on earth is a commission to us. And I thank God. And I know I express the heart of the members of this church. I thank God the way God's using us. So how does it work out? Well, there is that base. And so as you begin to look at the base of the pyramid, there is that which is already committed. We've already said to individuals that here's the base, and to accomplish what we've already committed to missionaries who are already overseas, and the works that are already being planned, works we're already committed to. The base number is $82,000. What's in that? I wish we had time to spend a lot of time looking at every one of these. I wish that you could see some of the reports that come back and to hear the things that are happening. And while we try to publish those reports as widely as we can, sometimes we may get so busy we don't look at them. We don't get a chance to look at them. But way back when we were in the old building, a man by the name of D. Manwaring. Anybody remember D? Some of you will remember him. He started using a Bible correspondence course, and he had students in Nigeria and students in Zimbabwe. And a couple of those students said, we need to preach the gospel. And he came to the elders, and I'm talking about way, way back yonder, whenever he said, we need to begin the support. And so in 1994, we added Nana Afogi in Nigeria and Tamuka Aranashi in Zimbabwe. And we send them, well, about $100 a month, some a little bit more than that, maybe as much. I don't know the exact numbers. At $150, something like that. Not a great deal of money. But I want you to know that when Josh was here and Josh went to Nigeria, Josh saw the work that was being done in Nigeria. And the same thing that's happening there. There's a brother that goes regularly over there, and we get these reports that come back. And there are monthly reports that come back again and again. And Tamuka Aranashi, he's involved. And listen, he's in Zimbabwe. You know what a loaf of bread costs in Zimbabwe? A loaf of bread costs And I know they don't have dollars like our dollars, but it cost $1 million for a loaf of bread. Inflation is just sky high. And yet here's this brother living in that communist country, and the church is being scattered by him, and they've in the last 2 or 3 years begun helping another congregation, and that congregation is growing, and there are reports that come again and again of the work that they're doing and the things that they are accomplishing there. Folks, that's Palm Beach Lakes. We'll never meet these brethren from Nigeria. We'll never meet these brethren from Zimbabwe, except someday, listen, get this picture, except someday in another world, there'll be a Nigerian. There'll be somebody from Zimbabwe that would say, I want to thank you. I never would have been in heaven if it hadn't been for Palm Beach Lakes. We need to think about that. And then there's the work that Scott Shanahan is doing. Scott is out in the South Pacific. We've known Scott for quite some time. We've only begun supporting him on a regular basis, though he would come and we'd make special contribution to him even before in 2012 he became a part of the base and a part of our work. But the work that he is doing, and I don't know if you watch Facebook at all, but if there's anybody you ought to be following on Facebook, it's Scott Shanahan with that new baby over there. Scott and Rebecca, while they were in the States, had their first child, and when that child's a month old or so, they've carried that child back out to the South Pacific. Unbelievable what's happening. He posted this past week of conducting a Bible study, and a man and his wife were there. And he had a Bible study with them, and 2 hours after the Bible study, the wife died. Folks, there's an urgency in what we're trying to do. And you and I need to understand that we are part of God's plan. Not we intellectually, not we as a group in a nameless bunch of faces. As I thought about that work in the Easter Island, I thought of that teenage girl who, before she was a teenager, saved her nickels and dimes and everything. And every time on Mission Sunday, we had that jar of money that she had saved. Do you understand? That 10, 12-year-old girl, until she became an adult, is a part of spreading the gospel to the most remote place on earth, the Easter Islands. And that's not some nameless face. If I were to call her by name, almost every one of you would know her. And she's not here today as far as I know. She's moved away. But she's a part of event. Folks, you and I, not in some intellectual nameless, the people that you're looking at, the people whose back of the heads you're looking at right now. I'm looking at the, I don't know if this is the good side or not. I'm looking at the face side and you're looking at the back side. That's who God is using. And how thankful we are for Scott and Rebecca and the sacrifice they're making. And there's Joey Treat. Joey Treat is also out in the South Pacific, and all of these are tied and connected to the work that Robert Martin has, with whom we've been. So we've been involved with Joey Treat for 10 years, since 2004. And in the work that he's doing, he has his own TV network that belongs to the missionary, to the church there. It belongs to the body of Jesus, and there are only 3 networks on that island, and one of them has the gospel. Every hour that network is on the air, it's broadcasting the gospel of Christ. Well, thank God for Joey Tree. No. Paul said to the Philippian church, the work that I'm doing, God is crediting it to your account. Thank God there's an avenue. Thank God there is a Joey Treat. But thank God. Yeah. that is added to our account. Every day of every week, Palm Beach Leagues is preaching the gospel on that Pacific island that's there. And not just the one. And we could spend time talking about the names of the islands, but they matter not. You want to talk about Robert Martin? Robert's been in the South Pacific for 30 years. We've been involved with Robert since 1989. I've known Robert for 40 plus years. And through his work of the 22 island nations that are there, through the work of Robert and those he's encouraged to go, the gospel is now on 19 or 20 of those island nations. Thank God for Robert. Paul told the Philippian church, the work that I do, God credits it to your account. And when the gospel spreads throughout all of the South Pacific, God writes it down to the account, your account, a record kept in heaven in the mind of God, that you long for the gospel to be preached and for the people in those 22 island nations of the South Pacific, for the gospel to be able to reach out and to reach them. And then a work that we just started in May of this past year. Mauricio Yegros. The name Yegros may be a name that's familiar because he's the son of the... Well, he comes out of Paraguay. Our association with him comes from our association with Josh and Troy and before them Chris down in Paraguay. And so here's a work that is beginning. And just recently, just within the last 2 months, Mauricio was here on a Sunday morning to talk about the establishing of a great new Hispanic work down in Cape Coral, down Coral Springs, down in that area. And what more can we say than to mention by names two people that are so special to us, two missionaries and their families who are even more precious to us, and that is Troy and Josh. Talk first about Troy. Do you understand how powerfully strong the church in Asuncion, Paraguay is because of Palm Beach Leagues? Chris Fry grew up in this very church. And Troy married, Andrew, who sort of grew up in this church. And Josh, thank God for you giving up your daughter to be down there in Paraguay. And the work that's going there, and in something that's almost heard of within the 10 years or so that work is being on, they're close to appointing elders there. That's unheard of in mission work. That's how strong that work is. And that School of Biblical Studies, the Bible Academy that's there, and Troy's heading that up. And they're all this past week and this coming week, there'll be those students who will sit at the feet of Troy and those other individuals who are there who'll be learning how to be better workers for God. And think of how strong the church is going to be when these young adults have been through that 2 years training program and then they're out and they're not going to be supported by American money. That's not the way to do mission work. To try to get in there and they'll be supporting they'll make tents on their own. They'll get their own jobs. Or the church there will begin to support them. Thank God for that. Thank God for Josh, for Troy and Andrea and Josh and Kara. How marvelous it is that work in Paraguay has just gone on and on, and Josh has been so much a part of all of that. You see the word Easter Island, or can you think about Easter Islands in your mind as you think about what's happening there? We talked last Sunday about the most remote place on earth. You get to Easter Islands. If you go east, it's 2,000 miles to the nearest land. 2,000 miles of ocean. You go to the west and there's an equal distance, if not greater, before you ever find another piece of land, the most remote place on earth. And this year, because of the monies given on Mission Sunday, Josh will be making his fourth trip back to that land to establish the Lord's church there. And progress is being... We just heard Josh tell about it 3 weeks ago in this very building. Thank God for Josh. But Paul told the Philippian church, the work that I'm doing, God is writing it down to your account. And next Sunday, when you sacrificially give, God writes down the evangelization of the Easter Islands, the most remote place on earth, to your account. Not to some theoretical, nameless group of individuals. The Palm Beach Lakes Church of Christ, a name on a piece of stationery or on a plaque somewhere. Oh no! Your name, your face, your sacrifice. And then the work that we do through Apologetics Press. 7 million hits on their website. And those four principal individuals there conducting 100 seminars, like the one on the Islamic religion that we've had here. And whenever we brought Kyle and Eric back to talk to our young people and to emphasize to them, they're publicly having debates with atheists. You and I need to understand. And thanks be to God that we've been able this year, because of the contributions that's been made, the work that we have been associated with since 1986, and in a sense, the elders have took on a very special relationship in the year 2004, 10 years ago, to that work. Thanks be to God for the monies that we are able to give to them. Just in passing, let me mention to you that when we started our own mission work down in Paraguay with Josh and Troy, so we could have ownership of that, that the decision was made by our elders to lessen the amount of money we'd been sending to Apologetics Press and to Robert. I'm here to announce to you now that those numbers are back up to where they were. They have an ongoing need, and the amount of money that in order to have to start that work with Josh and Troy, then we had to cut back a little bit on because of your contribution and your gifts. Those numbers are back up to where they were. And what more can we say about the teen mission trips? Young people, you cannot imagine how much this church loves you. And this church is going to sacrifice next week so that you'll be able to go and on your own be involved in a different place teaching others about the Lord. But you see, while you'll be doing the work, Paul said to the Philippian church, it abounds to the account of those who are supporting him. You'll be doing the work, but the credit for that work comes back to every member of this church. Teens, because we love you. And I hope next week you'll feel the love. And then again, this matter of sending out the Heart to Heart magazine this next year in the base, we know the value of that and the outreach power of that. And so we're going to send it to the 8,000 homes like we did before, 8,000 homes around the building. We'll continue to do that. Now then, if we can get above the 82,000, the next level is $98,300. Almost every month, and maybe sometimes more often than that, request comes saying, I'm going on a mission trip. Can you help me go? And those of you who are young adults will remember the times perhaps when you went on a mission trip with some group from a Christian college somewhere. The things that's involved, special requests for monies for mission trips, and to be able to reach out and to touch the lives of others. And so monies are found in this. And then something even more to me exciting, and that is a new association with Douglas Alvarenga. You remember the Spanish work that we had here in our building, and so much of that work, people were in Lake Worth and trying to travel up here, and it just created some situations. And just a few years ago, the decision was made that we'd try to start a work down in Lake Worth, and they tried for a while to become a part of the work at Jog Road, but that didn't work out. And so, but that group's been meeting on its own. And there's outreach. In fact, at the end of our services today, they'll be bringing somebody from that congregation to use our baptistry to baptize them in after we dismiss our service, to baptize them into Christ. Why? Because down in Lake Worth, there is a Hispanic congregation that is growing and trying to really be evangelistic down in that area. Sometimes there is a void of leadership, and so the plans are this next year for this church to use Douglas not as the primary preacher, different kind of an approach, but as an individual who will be there like our missionaries are in Paraguay. Instead of our missionaries doing all the preaching that's there, Douglas is going to be associated with that work, but we do not want him to stop those men down there being a part of the preaching. And so Douglas is going to be there on Sunday mornings teaching Bible classes and doing some of the preaching, but Sunday night and Wednesday night, Douglas will be a part of this congregation. We don't want to stifle what's happening in Lake Worth. It is so exciting. See what's happening down there in Lake Worth. And so as we've had Josh and Troy as missionaries down in Paraguay, and for them not to do all the work, and sometimes whenever the work was in our building, sometimes that's the way the people in the Hispanic people and others looked at that work. Well, work's going to be done. Douglas will do it all. Their mind, they've developed to the point that says we don't need... The Lord's plan is not for the preacher to do it all. It's for us to do it, for us to grow, and us to do outreach, and us to do teaching. And so Douglas will be our missionary, and that is so exciting. If we can get 110,000, we talked about this last year. That is, try to get a sign out there on I-95. Have you been by I-95 lately and seen how beautiful our building looks from the interstate? Folks, that's it. That's not a Photoshop. That's what our building... When we moved into this building, there wasn't a single tree between us and the 1 million people that went down the interstate. And so beginning last year, we set aside some monies to try to figure out how we can get this church to be more visible. And we're not exactly sure exactly what it's going to look like, but it will not be long, hopefully, before there will be some kind of a sign that's out there that says to our friends, like our building used to say, hey, there's a Church of Christ, Palm Beach Lakes Church of Christ. There'll be a sign of identification of this work. And we need it. And you cannot imagine how often we've tried to get those trees cut down and tried to figure out a way. Who was that guy up at Alabama that went over to Auburn and cut and poisoned the trees down in Auburn? What's his name? Harvey Updike? Anybody got his phone? No, I'm not saying that. But it's we're trying legally right now, trying to make it happen. And God being our helper, we want the church to have visibility again like it once had. And then let's go back to Joey Tree. Joey wrote us a letter about the work that he was doing and talking about the work that's there. They've got a beautiful building, and there, here's what the building looks like over here, you know, on the right side, the lower right corner. And it's built that way by design, obviously for flooding and other, or, you know, for if there ever was a hurricane that came through, that's typical the way the houses are built there. And they've got a nice building. And but Joey says, we need something different. You see, that television program, when it was originally being filmed and broadcast locally, the first studio they had was Joey sitting on the back porch of his house and trying to tape those television programs, looking out over the backside of his house. And when Joey sent the original request, he said, "We need to finish that basement." And a part of that original request was, "We need to set up some sort of studio down there where we can do it better." And so Joey says, "Can you help me?" And we'll not providing all of the funds. In fact, he already has a group going out there. They'll be there this summer, and they'll be working to take that lower part of that and to make it so much more useful for the. They only have one classroom, and they need more for obvious reasons. So if they have a class, inside the building, there'll be one upstairs, there'll be one downstairs, I suppose, with the blowing wind and rain and whatever. And if you try to have a third class, it gets totally out of the building. We need to help this work. And if we can get up to that $110,000, we'll be able. And then there's that ongoing work. If we look at $126,000, there's that ongoing work that's involved in Marsh Harbor and the assistance that we're giving to Marsh Harbor. We assist a congregation, and we rejoice to be able to try to help that work grow and make great things that are here. And as a part of that number, if we'd like to have $10,000, or I guess is that number that's in that level for that third level of that sign. God, help us. Somebody says, "What if we got more than $126,000? Wouldn't that be wonderful?" And all of these requests that come to this congregation, and when I say to this congregation, I'm talking about coming to you. Because this congregation has a reputation of the fact we're going to be involved in world mission work. And I love the way the church in Thessalonica was described, that for from you sounded out the gospel, not just in your area, but around the world your faith is spoken of. But it's up to us. You know, I don't know. I don't have any idea how much anybody gives on Mission Sunday other than what Judy and I give. I thank God that there's the widow's mites, the teenager's babysitting money, young person's allowance, that's sacrificially given. And I want to say to every one of us and say to myself, to whom much is given, much is required. And as God has blessed you, don't waste your monies on things that are so fleeting that they become worn out and outdated. There's an eternal soul that every creature on earth has. And next week, or this week as you decide how much you're going to be able to give, and next week as you give, hear the words of David, "I will not give to the Lord that which costs me nothing." Understand the principle of sacrifice. And then think about what Paul told the Philippian church, that the work that he did abounded to the account of the church at Philippi. On the screen, in that pyramid, were names and locations of places and people. But what they do brings honor and reward to them as servants of God. But Paul says, it's not just those who go, it's those who send. But you see, it's not for our glory. To Him be glory in the church. Listen, it's not our glory. It's not so people will praise us. May all the glory belong to God. There's an endless supply of His blood. But if there are not individuals whose faces I'm looking at, who says, God wants me to let the world know about the blood of Jesus. If there are not people like that, He might as well stayed in heaven. Next Sunday, a victory for God. To Him be glory. We come now to that part of our service where we extend the invitation. And you know, this very day you can become a part of His kingdom. You can become a part of the church. If you'll believe in Him, if you'll repent of your sins and confess your faith in Jesus. And the screen has Bible verses there, because this is not some church's plan of salvation. To say you need to believe and repent, confess your faith in Jesus and to be baptized, that's not some churchology. That's Godology, Christology. All the authority in heaven and in earth says these very words that are on the screen. If you haven't done it, you need to do it right now. If you're an unfaithful Christian and need to come back, this invitation is also for you. Whatever your need, won't you let it be known by coming to the front as together we stand and sing.